Looks like we're in a shower club.
Oh, hell. All the Russians are bugs.
Well, boys, I reckon this is it. Nuclear combat toe-to-toe with...
Our experience on the ground confirms...
So why in the world would any civilization build something that is specifically meant to destroy, not only in like a tactical sense, because we all know that people, for whatever reason, even civilly within our own society, somebody can be such a nuisance that they need to be taken out. And it's not anything particularly, it's not a good aspect of human civilization that violence and enmity and evil are just part of, the duality of man. We are all good and all bad, and I believe that, having an indifference to this type of stuff is essential with, keeping your sanity about you, because, it can be gut-wrenching to watch in the days and weeks coming up ahead. I just want you to know, everyone who's going to die on the battlefield in Ukraine, they're loved by somebody. There's a good aspect to them somewhere in the world, and just know that much. But the idea of just obliterating our entire civilization, because, like I said, I referenced this in the beginning of the video. How would it work out if, say, Russia were to use a tactical nuclear weapon and, blow up Kyiv, or Kiev in the Russian pronunciation? What you would immediately see is a retaliation. Actually, I don't know. So let's really think about that. What I would think actually would happen would be there would be a strange calm if it were a small bomb. Because, first of all, it would have to be detected that it was a nuclear weapon, and which is easy to... there are multiple listening points. It's pretty funny. Our world's ecosystem can tell, that there's a release of nuclear materials, like the Geiger counter in the sky, so to speak, because a bunch of countries observe this stuff and, like, basically stick their finger in the wind. But, they, like, oh, yeah. And the last time a huge accident like this happened was at the Chernobyl plant in 86. I was born after that, and it's funny, I had asthma and allergies when I was a kid. And after that one incident on the other side of the world, and I was born within 2 years of that, compared to the previous generation, like my, there was no allergy or asthma in our family going back. Well, there's a little psoriasis, but it's interesting because in these zones where this nuclear contamination is really bad, anything from, a serious birth defect to something more simple like that, like a huge incidence of asthma in an entire generation could be from the nuclear radiation. But you definitely got to check this Dr. Strangelove movie out. It's funny because it was one of the movies that, so my father was dying in a hospice, and this was the one, a movie that he really wanted to see on his deathbed. And I actually... He told me about it, and I had never seen it until after I got out of prison. At the time, I was in prison when he was dying of cancer. But when I got out, I watched, and I was like, "Oh man, this is right up his alley," and it's right up my alley because the dark humor of this is ridiculous. They've got... So I'm just gonna read a little bit of an overview of what this movie Dr. Strangelove is about. Because there is, like I said, duality of man. There's a humorous part of this, and then there's the macabre reality that any moment in the very near future, you could hear an air raid siren, and, I have to duck and cover, and it would be a mass retaliation or a sneak attack, which is what this is about, which is a general...
That's right, sir.
And this is something to think about, too. And there's a reason why our nuclear arsenal isn't wired in the internet, but a general just decides to attack. It's General Buck Turgeson, funny name, and it's played by George C. Scott with this really gruff. No, Buck Turgeson is the guy who's trying to address this crazy general who's on the
hotline.
It's like Commander
Strange Love.
Or how I learned to stop worrying and
love the bomb.
Part of this highlight of this is Stanley Kubrick did such a good job with actually designing the cockpits, how they're supposed to be designed. Of these, I think they're B-2 bombers. Every part of it, down to the ridiculous signs on the outside of the bases that said "Peace is our business," because that is the would be the Eisenhower line of deterrence equals peace, and there is something to that because. Just imagine that we haven't had any nuclear attacks since Hiroshima or Nagasaki. That is a miracle, and it's because everyone knows, holy shit, if things go down this road. I mean, there's a good side of that we won't escalate things to a certain point in Ukraine, but it also makes certain world powers basically... indemnified against the possibility that they will ever be attacked, because this is the situation that we don't want. So it's United States Air Force Brigadier General Jack D. Ripper is commander of Burpleson Air Force Base, which Turgeson, Burpleson. I think he's there's a Vander something. Oh God, it's an air base in Ohio, but it's named after a, I'll just find it right here, Ohio Air Base, should be able to find it just by searching that, DuckDuckGo, Wright-Patterson, there's Rickenbacker, a bunch of these like Germanic names, and that's basically the plan, or the playoff. Is that the Germans are always bringing us to war, because there's this scientist, the actual Dr. Strangelove is this Nazi scientist who creates this doomsday device. And if Russia is attacked, this doomsday device that turns the atmosphere into poisonous cobalt, this is horrible, horrible thing. Why would you create a doomsday device? And it's like, well, if we're going down, everyone's going down with us. It's this Jack D. Ripper. That's what it was. Is the commander of the Burpleson Air Force Base. So General Ripper orders his executive officer, Group Captain Lionel Mandrake of the Royal Air Force, and that's played by Peter Sellers, and he's like, I've got a gammy leg. he's like this old precarious vet, and oh my God, there's just too many parts of this movie that are just hilarious. But he puts the base on high alert, this Jack D. Ripper guy, and he has to tell his liaison, Group Captain Lionel Mandrake, hey, I'm.
It looks like we're in a shooting war.
The hell.
Issuing Wing Attack Plan R, which is like a sneak attack on the Russians. This guy's snapped. This Jack D. Ripper guy is snapped and has decided that the fluoridization of the water, so putting fluoride in water, is a communist conspiracy. And he's going to blow up the Russians, and they have this doomsday device. And if we attack the Russians, the doomsday device goes off, and it consists of many buried bombs jacketed with cobalt thorium G. And whenever they say that, they're like, cobalt thorium G. And it's like this, you know, supernatural, you know, a substance that just poisons the atmosphere, which are set to detonate automatically should any nuclear attack strike the country. And the president's wheelchair-using scientific advisor, former German Nazi Dr. Strangelove, points out that such a doomsday machine would only be an effective deterrent if everyone knew about it, and so they kept it secret. You know, and all this is a riff off of the intense secrecy and bigger and badder, because the Russian ambassador, when they're like, why would you build a doomsday device?
I was under the impression that I was the only one in authority to order the use of nuclear weapons.
That's right, sir. You are the only person authorized to do so. And although I hate to judge before all the facts are in, it's beginning to look like General Ripper exceeded his authority.
And he's like, well, we thought you were building a doomsday device. So, and that's exactly what it is. It's like we're human beings. We could just sit, get together, and they get together in this war room, and the Russians and Americans end up fighting it out in the war room. But
I first became aware of it, Mandrake, during the physical act of love.
You know, we're just humans. And this is what I say about this Ukraine and Russia thing. I wish they could just get together, Slavic people, just get together and have a drinking game. And then also America just says, do not expand NATO, and pull out your troops. We won't expand NATO. And I will leave you with one last thing, other than go see Dr. Strangelove while you still can. And beyond that, so NATO, if you were to imagine how it would look to Vladimir Putin, and this is during Obama's presidency, because NATO was originally meant to counteract, I might do a video about this, but the Warsaw Pact, which the Warsaw Pact was basically all the countries that were within Stalin's realm when World War II ended. They didn't vote by referendums to join the Soviet Socialist Republics, and mind you, they called themselves socialists, so what does that tell you? Just the whole key in there. They didn't vote to become part of the USSR or anything like that. They're just within the occupied zone of Russia's, you know, Red Army. Like, well, shit, hey, you know, I guess you guys are with us. Now, we kept on expanding NATO as the Warsaw Pact obviously, you know, dissolved. And it's not that we just, you know, decided to let these ancillary, you know, just unrelated parties to the treaty join. We let the actual, you know, we let Poland, a whole bunch of Estonia, a whole bunch of these former Soviet bloc states, and then we had bases in Okinawa, the Philippines, Afghanistan, Iraq, all around the perimeter of Russia, going, you know, to Germany, to everywhere. And if you were to imagine, it's basically like a python sleeping next to you. You know, at first it might just be, you know, sleeping up and cuddling with you, but the bigger or the more and more it stretches, you got to think, are you getting ready to eat me? And I'm sure that's what Vladimir Putin was looking out at the world and thinking, hey, what the fuck? All of a sudden I got NATO all around me, and he's not just picking out, you know, neutral countries, or the United States isn't picking out neutral countries. He's picking out the countries that were aligned with me, and, you know, turning them against me. So, anyway, we the Russians put nuclear warheads in our backyard one time. Imagine if the Russians were to set up a base in, say, you know, Mexico, you know, northern Mexico somewhere. I think we'd be a little finicky about it. And I think just recognize the humanity in everybody in this, and you can do whatever you want with Vladimir Putin, you know, call him a villain or whatever it is, but imagine how it looked when we took down Iraq. That's what I keep saying. So,
one says, now I am become death, the destroyer of worlds. I suppose we all thought that one way or another.